Oh, cool. Hey, I'm in stereo. Stereo.
That is one of the worst songs I've ever heard. It's probably one of the worst in existence.
I disagree.
How
I
do you
think it is an emotional ballad
about Sub-Zero?
about Sub-Zero. You'll notice that it says, I believe, that he wears no mask, which is false. So it's a short song, considering, that is, there aren't many lyrics to it, but half of them false. Chinese Ninja Warrior? Why Chinese? Why Chinese Ninja Warrior? Is Sub-Zero even Chinese?
I don't know.
He is a ninja,
Is
but
he a warrior?
well, yes, I think he's a warrior.
Okay.
But he does wear a mask.
Yeah.
With your heart so cold.
It's very good. That came up the other day. We were trying to record a promo for this show, and Noah all of a sudden bust out singing this song. And our roommate walks by, and he's like, I have that CD. And he goes to his room and immediately retrieves it. And while he's doing that, Noah's like, now is it the movie soundtrack or the original one? Because the movie one doesn't have it on there. He's like, no, it's the right one. And hands it to us. And sure enough, it is the Mortal Kombat soundtrack.
That's the soundtrack to the video game, not the soundtrack to the movie.
Yeah, it's a CD that time is better off forgetting. So, we haven't done a podcast since October 17th or 18th, which is like really pathetic, and I'm sorry. But
Yeah.
we were in Korea for a month.
Yeah.
Not a month. Yeah, all month. That's why there hasn't
That's
been a
why,
podcast. No,
we
it's
were
not just
only
a
there for
podcast.
a week.
We were there for a week. And then it took about a week to recover. And then a bunch of stuff happened, including Halloween. And we've been watching some anime. And we went to the ninja restaurant in New York. And that was pretty good. Our waiter's name was Eddie, which is disappointing. He's like, I'll be your ninja for this evening. My name is Eddie. Although he was a good waiter.
See, now right there, you need more explanation.
No.
You can't. Okay.
Whatever.
That's it.
We can look up the New York Times review. It's really negative, but we liked it better than the New York Times guy by a lot. The other news is that we are on page 19 of Newtype USA magazine. And hello to all the listeners who have found us through Newtype, where really, Newtype only lists four different anime podcasts. They talk about the Otaku Generation podcast and ours. They mention the Anime Boston podcast. And the Anime Boston guy finally listened to our show, although I'd listened to his show before. And also the Big Bald broadcast, which is done by some voice actors. But I don't know, I don't really. The Big Bald guys, there's no way they listen to this. But their show, it's kind of general geek speak. And once in a while, they'll be like, oh yeah, I was Ash in Pokemon, or whatever. And they mostly complain about Star Wars and comic books and stuff, and hardly ever get around to actually talking about anime. Although sometimes, yes. Noah hardly ever listens to podcasts. He was in.
I don't, yeah, whatever.
All right. So a while back, we interviewed this kid, Andrew, who contacted us because he thought our show would be about actual ninjas and not just Naruto and fictional ninjas. But fortunately, he also likes anime, and so he was a bit forgiving. He talked a lot to us about his Bujinkan training and his actual ninja training.
Yeah. And it was super awesome. And I told him, I think your interview will probably be up by September 24th.
It'll be our next show, I kept saying.
And Aaron was like, I don't know, you probably shouldn't tell him that. It might not be true. I was like, no. I'm sure we can get it up by the 24th of September.
I'd hope to have something
Well,
up.
happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Nice.
Okay, my name's Andrew. I'm not gonna give out my last name, but that's fine. I live in Portland, Oregon. That's in the Northwest, USA. I'm a huge anime freak, and you know, and I was actually into ninjutsu before I got into anime. I got into anime through ninjutsu, actually, which is really strange because usually it's the other way around. I found out about Naruto a while ago, and I did a search on iTunes and found out that this podcast, so with a couple emails, I want to come on the show and say a few things about real ninjutsu since I haven't heard anything yet. A bit disappointed, actually. I was expecting to, you know, hear my fellow shinobi say something about ninja. And
When did you first get into ninjutsu?
about 3 years ago, which is pretty good considering I've only been alive for 18 years. It's a pretty big chunk of my life, ninjutsu has been. I've been a huge ninja freak way, way, way before I started actually taking. It was the second ninja boom in the US, which was, you know, a period of time where they get really popular. You know, with that, you know, Three Ninjas, the movie, the cheesy movie. Yeah, and Ninja Turtles and all that started coming out when I started getting interested. After that, I was just like, I'm still fascinated with ninja. You know, like people would say, let's play army. You know, and I'd be like, no, I want to be the ninja. Like, can I be the ninja who joins your army? They're like, okay, go. And like we'd run around and I just hide. I just watch the fight and then tell them what they did wrong. You know, Dirt Clod Wars.
So I guess you were the ninja consultant for the army guys.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I'm the unofficial third ninja consultant. I hope you don't mind. Yeah, I take a martial art. It has two names. One was it was changed actually to, you know, avoid the bad, you know, media that ninjas get. You know, that they're thieves and assassins. Soke Hatsumi, who is the grandmaster of my martial art. Soke means grandmaster. Masaki Hatsumi changed the name in, what was it, 82 to Bujinkan Budo Taijutsu. And before that, it was called Bujinkan Ninpo Ninjutsu. And he changed the name, you know, because, you know, people associate ninjas with stealing and troublemaker hooligans, you know, who run around in masks. Although ninjas rarely wore masks, which is interesting. Rarely. Hatsumi, at first, he became introduced to the art. He was like, what was he, 13, and he used to take all kinds of martial arts. Like, his father was a kendo pro. You know, he was interested in martial arts, so he took, you know, 5, 15. You know, he was awesome in all of them, black belt in all of them. And he just couldn't find what he was looking for. So he meets this guy who lives in the Iga province of Japan, Iga region. His name's Takamatsu. Takamatsu was the 33rd Soke, or headmaster of Togakari-ryu. And so Soke Hatsumi started training under Takamatsu. Takamatsu got old, as most people do. You know, ninjas aren't immortal. Hatsumi starts training under Takamatsu, and Takamatsu, like most people do, get old. Very sadly, you know, I wasn't alive even when Takamatsu Sensei passed away. But he passed on the martial art to Hatsumi Soke, which really made a lot of the Bujinkan ninja, like who were, you know, training with Takamatsu Sensei for much longer than Hatsumi was, very angry. They left Bujinkan and started their own ninjutsu, which I don't know, it's phased out by now. Like their schools aren't around. But Hatsumi's school remained. He's the 34th Soke of Togakure-ryu, which is the most popular, at least if you look it up, school or ryu of ninjutsu. Ryu is not dragon, but school. After I got to a certain age, I wanted to take a martial art. And I took Taekwondo for a while. And I got really sick of standing in line and punching at nothing. And I didn't learn anything. I thought if like somebody came up to me and wanted to steal something or do something to defend myself, I would stand there and punch the air with my eyes closed. They'd take my wallet and run off with it. Like it just wouldn't be very good. So, you know, I was looking around and I thought, wait, ninja. Maybe I can find a ninjutsu school. And I had no idea. I thought like maybe they were all dead, like Koga ninjutsu is. By the way, the Koga Ryu. Koga is really, really famous ninjutsu ryu, but what was it in the 30s? Their Soke and their top five students died in a car accident, so that's where Koga ninjutsu ended. You know, because there's no one to pass the school on to. I know it sucks, but.
I want to know about secret ninja scrolls. Are there really, like, secret scrolls?
Actually, yes. They're called densho. Secret scrolls. Secret scrolls. The scrolls of the style of Togakuri were, you know, hand-passed from Takamatsu to Hatsumi. They name the techniques, you know. But Hatsumi doesn't even need to look at them. He opens them up once a year with the top five students of Bujinkan and, you know, goes over them again. But the techniques are in his head. He doesn't need to remember it. That's densho. So Kogaryu is not around anymore. So basically, if you want to learn ninjutsu, the only way you're ever going to get real ninjutsu lessons is to find a Bujinkan instructor. There is at least two per state. Yeah, that is pretty good. There's a lot of students in it. Hatsumi started touring, actually, the world in the 80s, passing around ninjutsu, you know, teaching it to anybody who wanted to learn. He was in the U.S. around 82 to 84, and he taught some people, they taught some people, and those people, once you get to a certain level in Bujinkan, you can start a school. So that's what they did, and my teachers, I have two, are both, what is it, Rokudan. They're both six dan, which is basically, if you're going to think about Naruto ranking wise, for all the, you know, ninja consultant listeners, it'd be around jonin. They're both jonin, as Bujinkan goes. And, you know, Hatsumi, Hokage. But that's where they are. I would be just fresh out of the academy. I've only gained one rank, and it's taken me that long. There are 23 ranks. So far, there's been a lot of people in Bujinkan to get up to 10th dan. 14th dan is the sub. And that's right under Hatsumi. That's as good as you're going to get. By the time they get there, they're 73. If you want to master a martial art, take Taekwondo. And then you get your black belt and you're done. But ninjutsu is always going. You do it for the rest of your life. At first, it's fun. But then it just becomes something you do. That's my ninja way. That's how I ninja.
Alright, so in Naruto, there are three types of ninjutsu. There's taijutsu, ninjutsu, and genjutsu. So, which one do you study?
Actually, we do tons of taijutsu. You know, if there was one character in Naruto that most represented what we actually do in class, it'd be Rock Lee. It's train, taijutsu. Oh, just so you know, there's no actual magic involved in ninjutsu. I don't know spells. I don't know how to run really fast. I can't fly. I can't stick to walls. But I do know taijutsu. We do practice shinobi uri. That's stealth. We practice that with at least once a month. And we'll do that outdoors. We'll have an outdoor class day where we'll go outdoors. We'll play games like just training games, you know, like ukemi tag. Ukemi means to receive the ground. In English, to receive the ground, you must receive it. It's to roll, a rolling technique. That's ukemi. And we'll play ukemi tag where one person is blindfolded and he has to roll. The only way you can move is rolling. No taking steps, no walking. And you have to roll around and tag people inside a circle. The only way those people can move is rolling. So you get very good at rolling after four games of ukemi tag. And rolling comes in handy. You know, you learn how to, it keeps you low, it keeps you flexible. Taijutsu. Yeah, so we don't learn magic. I mean, I know, you know, Kujin, hand seals. That is actually, there are hand seals. They're actually a part, they're in the densho, in the secret scrolls for Togakure Ryu. They're in there. Hatsumi doesn't really like to talk about them. They're not his favorite part, you know, but he's so good. He gets to do whatever he wants. They're basically, there are 89 of them. 89. And they're basically just a way of triggering feelings. Like, say there's this technique where you need to, you know, move fast. You constantly train and do that technique. And while you're thinking about it, while you're preparing for it, you can think about certain things like the element fire. Say fire's fast. Fire is, you know, spontaneous. And you can perform, like, you can weave your hands into the little hand weavy Kujin hand seal for fire, ka, which is, well, I can't describe it over audio because it's just really weird looking. But if you do that and think about fire and think about speed and do that for 5 months straight, eventually you just put your hands into that position and boom, you're like, okay, fast. It's brainwashing yourself. That's what the hand seals are. They're just a way to brainwash yourself. And it's really interesting. I've done it once where it actually worked for me. Where in class, we had to stand there, and our teacher had a book in. Actually, it was a shinai, you know, like kendo shinai, bamboo swords. And it was wrapped in leather, so he's not afraid to hit you with it. Like my teacher says all the time, I never want to injure you, but I don't mind hurting you. So he'll stand there, and you have to stand there, you know, arms down, just a natural posture. And he'll swing down with a shinai. You have to guess the moment he swings with a shinai. And right before it hits you, you have to drop to the ground and back roll. And he's fast. But while you're sitting there, if your legs start to tremble, and like mine do, you get really nervous and you just can't get away fast enough. He'll smack you across the head. You'll go sit down. Someone else will try. But if you calm down, and he gives us, he says, think about like a mountain, like immovable, like strong, can't, no matter how hard the wind blows against it, the mountain's not going anywhere. If you think about a mountain, and I put my fingers into the position for chi, which is earth, mountain, I calmed myself down. I stopped trembling, and it was really strange. It's the only time it's ever worked for me. I tried to do it again, but it doesn't work. And I calmed down, and like his sword, it felt like it just pushed me over. Like, it didn't touch me. It just, like, it pushed me when he swung, and I got away. And that's how I got my rank promotion. And, but that's it. You know, I haven't gotten any better. But it's really interesting, the hand seals. Naruto gets some things right, gets some things wrong, but, you know, I don't really care. It's not like it's personally offending me. Actually, I'm interested if Sōke has ever watched Naruto. I want to see if I can get a hold of him, like maybe ask my teachers to talk to him and see if he's ever seen the show. I'd like to see what he says about it. I think that would be hilarious.
Did you see the movie Kung Fu Hustle?
Yeah, I saw that a week ago. Yeah. It's like a funny, it's like Looney Tunes Kung Fu movie.
I want to know more about kunai, which we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Kunai were never thrown by ninja or shinobi, whatever you want to call them. Whatever you want to call us, I don't know if I'm one or not. If you want to call me ninja, that's fine. I don't care. But they were never thrown. Basically, they were used for prying, opening doors. They were basically giant lockpicks, kunai or shovels. Kunai actually means earth digger, you know. So shovel. So kunai were never thrown. What were thrown were shuriken. We talked about this before we started recording. Shuriken means any blade that can be thrown. It can be needles, it can be swords, it can be butter knives, it could be the four-pointed throwing star shuriken, Sinbon shuriken. Shuriken means any blade that can be thrown. And, you know, so kunai, I don't really care that in Naruto they throw them. I actually think they look really cool. Like, real kunai look nothing like Naruto kunai. I want a Naruto kunai. I want to make one. I think that would be awesome. But real kunai are very plain. They look like sticks that are bowed in the middle. They're not all pointy, like in Naruto.
So can you move silently? Like sneak up on people and kill them?
Actually, I couldn't tell you if I could or not. Because I'm a lot louder to myself. Like, I've never had anybody say, wow, you're moving very silent. Like when you take steps, you know, the vibration goes up to your inner ear and you can hear that step a lot louder as in someone across the room. So it's like talking and recording your voice and then listening to your own voice on a recording sounds a lot different because you're not hearing that inner echo.
So earlier in the email, we talked about real ninjas in history, or in literature. There's Orochimaru, Tsunade, and Jiraiya. You said they were characters taken from something.
Jiraiya, Orochimaru, and Tsunade. Those are all three characters that were actually not... They weren't real ninja, but they were fabled ninja. Hatsumi talks about them. They were invented to teach lessons in class. Orochimaru, snake ninja, who's legend to have the ability to transform into a snake. And he's used during classes. He was used. My teachers have never used any of those three in class as, like, references to techniques. But to teach fluidity, Orochimaru was. And there was some fable that went on. I can't find it, and if I could, it'd be in Japanese, and I couldn't read it. But it's like a little poem, like that teaches you a specific technique, and that's where these characters appeared. And I think it's really cool that they're all in Naruto.
Do you speak Japanese?
No, all the Japanese I know, I've learned through ninjutsu, through class. Like, it's really weird. I'd like to tell, if I could, a story about one day in class. We have this this guest teacher who comes from Southern Oregon. His name was Rob, that's what we call him. And he was really scary. He's a pro kickboxer, but he also takes ninjutsu. And he's been in Bujinkan since before you could even go in it in the U.S. He's been in it for 20 years. He's high ranked. So he comes to class. You know, he's talking about, you know, pickup trucks. And I thought that was really weird. And then we were like, okay, let's start class. So we bow in like we do every class. And then as soon as we get up, he like goes into total Japanese mode, where he only speaks Japanese, and he refuses to speak English while he's training. And I thought that was really interesting to see this guy with like, he was talking about pickup trucks, like this big 7-foot-tall guy with muscles bigger than my head, talking in Japanese during class. And I've had nightmares about him. And this is funny. This is really funny. I had nightmares that I wake up and he's on my ceiling with a boken, and he just goes, ah! And he comes down and smacks me in the head. And it's weird. And I told him that the day after I had that dream. And he laughed and said he had the same dreams about Hatsume Soke. So I thought that was funny. I thought that was perfect. That should have been in like a movie. It was so perfect. Well, Hatsume Soke only teaches in Japanese. He knows English, but it's not very good. I've never been to Japan. And I actually might go next summer and train with Hatsume, which would be amazing.
Are you gonna go train under a waterfall?
Actually, no. He has a waterfall on his property though, and it looks just like the ninja waterfall in most anime. I swear. Yeah, it's Kutaki no Mura, that aura, the waterfall. It pertains to training. It's when we train, we do everything possible to make it easier to understand. So like, long time ago, 300 years, they used to characterize techniques and give feeling to a technique that seemed boring, like saying, like, oh, look, this technique looks like water. You know, it's flowy. It finds the path of least resistance and exploits it. And waterfalls, there's a technique that we learned recently that has to do with waterfalls. And I don't know, I just spit that out. Actually, to advance the first rank in ninjutsu, there's only 3 belts. But we never call, like, oh, you're a black belt, ooh, you're a green belt. There's white, green, and black. Basically, you're a white belt when you're brand new. That's Mukyu, 0Q, 0 level. And if you can advance past that into green belt or ninth Q, to do that, you have to take a test. And the test is you have to learn 5 attacks that all have to do with a certain element. Chi, Sui, Ka, Fu, Ku, earth, water, fire, wind, and void. And you have to, void is actually, it's the space in between the elements. And they have us remember this by representing your pinky finger is chi. Because if you hold out your hand, it's closest to the ground. Your next finger, your ring finger, is water, sui. Next, middle, ka. The index finger, pointer finger, is fu, wind. And your thumb is void. And that's how they have us remember these techniques. And, you have to do all 5 of them in a row in class with everybody watching against your teacher. If you mess up, it hurts like crap. If you do it, you feel really, really good about yourself. I actually failed the test the first time I took it. I thought it was good enough. I messed up on sui. I just wasn't very flowy, I guess. and so I failed the test. I actually had a friend who took the test, and he passed, but he didn't receive the promotion. He said he didn't want it because he didn't feel like he was good enough for it. So he actually took it now, and he's first dan. He just got his black belt. It goes from basically, it takes about 9 months to go from white belt to green belt. Then there's 9 stages of green belt. It takes about 6 to 10 years to get to black belt. Once you get to black belt, you're going to be doing it till your 70s. If you still want to. I mean, if you stop training in ninjutsu, you're that good. Wherever you stop, that's where you stop, getting better. So if you stop for a year, you'd be as good, if not a little bit worse, than you were a year ago. And so you got to keep it up if you want to learn. And it's not so much, at first it's fun, then it's exciting, and then you hate going, and you don't want to have anything to do with it. You take like a month-long break, and then you just start to miss it. And you go back, and you just can't, function without training. You must train all the time. Find anything you're going to train, like push-ups, anything. It's like Rock Lee, hits a tree, must catch every leaf before it falls to the ground, or else I'm not good enough. It's like you start doing stuff like that. On elevators, I'll do stances, I'll move my feet into certain positions without even knowing it, and people will tell me, what are you doing? And I'll be like, oh, I was thinking. I advise anybody listening to this, if you can find a Bujinkan dojo anywhere near your house, even if it's, I'd say the most it's worth, at least a 5-hour drive. If you can find one anywhere, go at least to 3 classes and watch. Don't train because, you're going to hurt yourself. Just go watch 3 classes. And you'll be hooked. If you don't think you have enough time, don't go watch a class, because it could be really bad, because you'll get hooked, and then you'll get fired, you'll your girlfriend will break up with you, and all this bad stuff will start happening. Yeah, there's a couple good ones. Actually, if the website for my dojo is www.bujinkanfamilydojo, all no spaces, bujinkanfamilydojo.com. And yeah, okay. And the Bujinkan website, bujinkan.com. And if you want to find Bujinkan schools next to you, I think you can go to winjitsu.com, winjitsu.com. yeah, and just find a Bujinkan dojo next to you and go, because it's a really great experience. It just becomes a part of who you are, and you get a lot more than just how to fight through ninjutsu. It's a martial art that has to do with everything. It's mental, it's physical, it's everything. And it's like, I plan on doing it for a long time, training. I plan on doing it till I can't do it anymore. Which is, you can still do it. Like, Hatsumi, this is the most amazing part about it, I think. Soke is 83. And if I'm wrong, he's gonna kill me. Even though I've never met him, he's gonna kill me with his mind. Send over mind bullets from Noda City, Japan. But he's like 83, and he is the most amazing fighter I have ever seen. He can take down 5 people at once, and it almost seems by like staring at them. And it's all real. There's no magic. There's no, they're not purposely falling down. He is scary. I saw this one video with him, a DVD with Shuriken Jutsu with him, and my teacher was there in Japan training with him, and I saw this video, and my teacher was allowed to teach part of his top students some Shuriken Jutsu, and Hatsumi was like, no, you do it wrong, try again, and he tried it again, and Hatsumi was like, no, here, watch, and Hatsumi walked up, and he said, you 5, come at me. And so these 5 guys get up. They're all huge, like, like 2 guys are from, Europe, the rest are Japanese, and like they're huge guys. Well, the Japanese guys are. They come at him, and all of a sudden they fall down, and you're wondering what happened. All of a sudden these guys come at him, and they all drop to the floor, in pain. And you see on the floor, you see 5 shuriken. He threw 5 shuriken at all of their feet and hit all of their feet. And I didn't even see. I saw his hand reach to his pocket, and that was it. They were just on the floor. He doesn't want to hurt them, so, they're his students. The shuriken aren't sharpened. They're just giant metal dull blades of awesomeness. And they die. Like, they don't die. They fall to the ground. What am I talking about? I tried to play it in slow motion, and yes, I could see him. I could see him do it. I could see him. But watching it the first time was amazing. I'm watching it again, I can see him pull him out and throw him. But he's just so amazing. Like, he's my role model. He's an awesome old man, basically. An awesome old ninja. So, yeah, basically, ninjutsu is still around. It's awesome. If you can go, go. And if you can't, buy a book, read about it on the internet, try and teach yourself, but odds are you're not going to get. I'm sorry, you're not going to get very good. Remember that ninjutsu, shinobi means 4 things in Japanese. It means ninja, the actual people. It also means endurance. The actual kanji shinobi translates into endurance. It also means patience. Shinobi means patience. And it also means the way to live and in peace without pain, with no conflict. It's a word that means this huge meaning. You know, it's Japanese. And one more story, if I could tell it really quick. I was in my grandparents' house in Canada. I was visiting, and my grandparents are Korean. So I see this, he can speak both Japanese and Korean, and read and write both. So I see this kanji on the wall for shinobi. It's the first time I was over at his house. This is my grandpa. And I see this kanji on the wall for shinobi. I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's so awesome. I'm like, what does that mean? I obviously knew what it meant, but I wanted to see what he said. And he said, oh, it means patience. And I was like, you know that means ninja? And he was like, no. And I'm like, that's shinobi. That is the most, like, recognized symbol by all otaku anywhere and everywhere. That's shinobi. And it means patience? And he's like, yeah, my friend wrote it for me. My minister. It means patience. He gave it to me for, I like it because it reminds me of, like, fishing. And I just thought that was amazing that it's just so deep, ninjutsu. If you can go, go. And that's it. Yeah, you're welcome.